John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, Hotel Mars Episode N. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. David is the space show, Dr. Space himself, and we're on our way to other planets. Not immediately Mars, but we'll get there, and we need boosters to get us, to lift us off the Earth and to transport us to the moon and beyond. And over these last decades, we've watched NASA develop larger and more sophisticated rockets, but since the shuttle, there's been an open question about what next. For the manned effort, there is a system called SLS. However, there are delays, and I start in our conversation with Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer for Space News, a quote from the present NASA administrator, Bridenstine. The quote is this: NASA has not been good at setting realistic budget and schedules, and we need to get better at that. So before we announce a new date, I want to be sure that we have a leadership team in place, a new date to replace the one that just slipped under the waves. There is some expectation that sometime in the third decade of the 21st century, we will see an SLS test. Jeff, a very good evening to you. It is discouraging to review all the times we've been promised and not delivered. What is your best information about SLS and perhaps the first launch? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The first launch of the Space Launch System, the mission is sometimes called Artemis 1, is officially scheduled for late 2020, but I think most people inside and outside of NASA expect that date to slip to sometime in 2021. And that date has slipped a number of times in the past, as you alluded to. Originally, SLS was supposed to start flying in 2017, then 2018, then 2019, and now 2020 or 2021. The vehicle has taken quite a bit longer to develop than anyone anticipated. And the progress has been a lot slower, but there has been progress in some components of the vehicle.
David?
Jeff, can you help us in context, because we do hear about these slip dates and delays. What are they really different than other new rocket startup projects? Is SLS unique in their delays and setbacks, or is it just par for the course?
Yeah, a lot of rocket programs, as you mentioned, space programs in general, have delays. The expectation going into SLS was that it would be less susceptible to those delays because it was going to leverage a lot of existing technology. It was not relying on new technologies, new rocket engines, things like that. It was using a lot of systems left over from the space shuttle program, revised and adapted for this new vehicle. And what's turned out is that taking those old technologies and repurposing them has turned out to be a lot more complex than anyone in the agency or its contractors imagined, which is why we've seen these several years of delays.
Jeff, I want to be a little cynical here because I'm looking at the list of fiscal year 2011 to fiscal year 2018, the appropriation each year. This is Congress pushing money into the SLS program. Is Congress driving this? Is NASA driving this? Who's in charge when it costs money each year and they have to re-up? Who gives the explanation that says, well, not next year, maybe 2021? Who does that, Jeff?
Well, it's NASA is the one that's setting the schedules and then having to explain them to Congress, including members who are wondering why the schedule has slipped once again. I think one of the challenges the program has faced is that SLS has been funded at a flat level of about $2 billion a year for the last several years. And if you look at any major development programs, the funding usually isn't flat. It starts out small, then ramps up significantly as it goes into development, and then ramps back down as it nears completion. So when you're trying to fit a development program into a very different funding profile, you start to run into problems. And I think that's one of the issues facing the SLS here.
So it isn't Congress pushing this. It's NASA goes to Congress and asks for money, but it's Congress that caps the grants or limits the grants. Is that how to look at this?
Yeah, Congress usually makes changes to NASA's budget requests, although often they have actually added money to SLS rather than taking money away from SLS. as the case may be. But the point is that the funding profile has not been sort of the typical one you would expect for a development program. And I think that's affected various parts of the development of the vehicle.
Understood. David?
Jeff, who or what is the SLS leadership team that Bridenstine said they had to get it together with? What is he actually talking about? Is there a specific group of people for SLS as a leadership team?
Yeah, the SLS is under a part of NASA called Human Exploration and Operations, which is also responsible for the Orion spacecraft SLS will launch. It's also responsible for operations of the International Space Station. And that part of NASA had been led for many years by a man named Bill Gerstenmaier. Very well respected and revered even among people within NASA and the broader aerospace industry. Last month, NASA decided to reassign Gerstenmaier to a position called Special Advisor. And so the agency right now is looking for a new person to take over that leadership position that Gerstenmaier held, who will then be able to pick a deputy to replace Bill Hill. That process is ongoing. There's an acting leader in that position right now, a man named Ken Bowersox. And that process will probably take at least another several weeks before they get that new leadership team in place.
In the meantime, there are alternatives for heavy launch. SpaceX and Blue Origin come to mind. SpaceX is ready. Blue Origin said to be building an engine. Is that influencing SLS in development or influencing SLS in Congress? Are there doubts because of the competition?
You know, I think a lot of people look at what SpaceX and Blue Origin are doing with Falcon 9, Falcon Heavy at SpaceX, and also the new Starship vehicle, as well as New Glenn at Blue Origin, and suggesting maybe we don't need SLS. But there's a lot of influential members of Congress who support development of the vehicle, most notably Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, who chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee. So he has the power of the purse in the Senate, and he's been a strong supporter of SLS because a lot of the work on that program is done at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama. So there's no real risk that members of Congress will get tired of SLS and seek to cancel the program anytime soon because of that that staunch backing by people like Senator Shelby. But as these new capabilities emerge in the commercial sector, I think there will continue to be questions about what exactly will SLS do that these commercial vehicles will not.
David?
Jeff, there are several missions planned on Artemis 1 CubeSat missions. I think there's 12 of them. They're already delayed, and the delays of SLS delay them even further. Do you think there's any chance that NASA might get serious about a backup vehicle and let them plan for architecture and mission on another private rocket rather than SLS if this continues? And how long would it be before they had to make a decision like that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any real rush right now to take those CubeSats, which are tiny compared to the overall capacity of the vehicle, off of SLS and put them onto a different vehicle. It was always sort of seen as like a bonus thing to do with the SLS, and that's not really driving any decisions about the vehicle, and the satellites are pretty much in a wait and see mode, although some of the satellites are still being built right now because they're taking advantage of the delays as extra time to work on their spacecraft.
The anecdote, Jeff, not news reporting, but the anecdote is that the Trump administration is frustrated with the SLS delays, and that the president and the vice president want it to fly before they're no longer in office. Have you heard those anecdotes, and does that tell us that 2024 is the upper limit? They've got to deliver before that, or they're out of here?
Yeah, you know, certainly I can't speak to those specific anecdotes, but I do know that I think people in the White House, in particular the vice president, who's heavily involved on space issues, would like to see things speed up in terms of the exploration program, because they want to see not just SLS fly by 2024, they want to see astronauts landing on the moon by 2024, which is the goal that the vice president set out about 5 months ago in a speech. And so, you know, they want to see SLS fly and then fly again, because it's going to be that third flight of the SLS in 2024 that will enable that human landing on the moon. But if the schedules continue to slip, it will become harder to keep that schedule, and that may increase pressure on NASA from the White House to take a radically different approach, which might cause some problems between NASA and Congress.
Jeff Faust is a senior staff writer at Space News. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode 8.